The doctor was the monk. Sorry, old habits. Here we go. How does a podcast evolve after you've practically solved every puzzy and riddy? You really gotta expand upon your limited brand before your show gets really shitty. You turn to face reality and pray your personalities will carry this last minute pivot through. So here comes the content that nobody wanted. Now it's time for Hate Riddle Riddles Clue Crew.
Hey, Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry to bother you this late at night. Can I get my rake back?
I borrowed your rake?
Yeah, you said for Halloween this year you're going to go as rake hands.
Yeah, that sounds like me.
Or like a Reiki practitioner or something. And I actually need it for my lawn now.
That's funny. Okay, let me see.
And I brought JPC just so you know I'm serious.
Yeah, but I'm about 15 feet back because I was diagnosed with late onset rakenophobia, so I can't be anywhere near the rake, but I do want to let you know that he means business, but I am so far back because of my rakenophobia.
That makes sense. Wait, you guys are doing yard work this late at night?
Yeah.
That's suspicious.
I'm a yard foreman, so I'm not actually getting my hands dirty. I'm more like a yard contractor, but yeah. Addle will be doing the work, and I will be kind of directing.
And my excuse is I'm Addle, and I go to bed at 6 a.m.
Great. Let me see. All right, I have a broom. I have a Swiffer. Does that work?
It works for me. It does not trigger my arachnophobia, if that's what we're talking about.
I'll take the Swiffer. Can I ask why I can't get my own rake back?
I forgot I borrowed it and probably threw it in the garbage.
There it is.
You shouldn't lend me your stuff. I'm very irresponsible. I can give you a fork. I have a fork.
Okay.
I have a whisk.
I feel like Swiffer was the peak one-to-one. So let's just take the Swiffer.
Swiffer's off the table. It's now rake. It's now fork or whisk.
Shit. Well, what's going to help with my leaves?
I have a pizza cutter.
A pizza cutter make the leaves smaller.
Ice cream scoop.
Actually, hey, Addle.
Yeah.
Try to think about something that we can flip on the street trade up for a rake. So like pizza cutter. If it's like a nice one, we could definitely trade that up.
Aaron, do you have any Supreme sweaters?
Huh, let me look.
Good thinking. Good answer.
I have a couple that I borrowed from you, but I threw those in the garbage. What else?
Oh, my limited edition Supreme sweaters.
Do you guys want my antique emerald necklace?
No, that's cursed.
No, I don't like teak. I'm not really a wood guy.
Oh, you can have my dog. Here you go.
Dogs eat leaves.
Here we go.
Oh my God, Lou Wood, though. She loves eating leaves and grass. It's bad.
Oh.
Yeah.
Leaves is a weird thing to eat. I mean, my dog eats other dog's shit, so who am I?
Yeah, that's true.
If she sees like a piece of shit on the walk, she'll smell it because that's what dogs like to do. I have to give her like a 2-second countdown because I'm like, I don't want you to get too close with too many ideas because we both know what you like to eat.
When a dog sniffs another
dog's... Loves a woman!
Thank you. When a dog sniffs another dog's shit, is that like when we read somebody else's biography? Is that like a similar experience?
Yeah.
I think you're giving way, 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 way too much credit to these dogs that are eating together and shit.
Yeah, it's like reading someone's autobiography. Biographer telling
nobody else shit that shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Not David McCullough's John Adams. A biography that I read.
David McCullough. I would eat a mile of his shit just to see where it came from.
Yep.
Said all dogs.
All dogs.
How's everyone doing?
Heaven.
Aaron, did you hear the opening? Not well.
Yeah, I figured.
I was telling Addle before we started recording that I panic bought a laptop last night at 11:52 p.m. because there was a sale ending, and I thought the sale was ending today, the day that we're recording, but it was ending last night, and so I, like, all of a sudden I was like, that sale ends! It just, like, it went off in my brain, like, you were going to buy that laptop and that sale ends, and it was $400 off, and I was like... Which is it's all a scam, right? Like, it's never actually $400 off, but they say it's $400 off. And then tomorrow it's only $300
off. What kind of laptop is it?
It's like a mid-range gaming laptop, but my laptop died and the battery stopped working in it unless you had it charged, or, like, actually plugged in at the time. Like, it could be fully charged and you turn it off and be like, hey, there's no battery in this. And Every time that happened, I would say, Mariah, can you believe this thing with the battery? And she goes, I can't hear about this fucking laptop battery anymore. And every time she was like, get a new laptop. I was like, but I don't really want a laptop. I don't go anywhere. I don't need a laptop. She was like, I can't hear you say that you don't need it and that the one that you have doesn't work anymore. So you got to make a decision. And so I did a lot of research and I found the one that I liked and then I almost missed the sale.
Do we think that laptops, when they die, do we think they're reincarnated?
God, I hope so.
As little iPads.
Yeah. As like a Kindle.
Yeah, as a Kindle. A nice quiet life as a Kindle. That's exciting, though. New computer. I have my new computer because, as you guys know, mine was truly bursting into flames midway through our recordings and was completely fucking up my life.
Yeah, it would give like a deep laugh during certain episodes and like it was like walk around wheezing. The house, like pick up knives.
It was that laugh that would just go like, it just kind of like it would melt halfway through.
It was disturbing, but it is so nice to have a functioning computer. It's changed my mood completely.
Functioning computers really changed the game when it comes to computational electronics.
Exactly.
Functioning computer, happy life.
I'm a function over form when it comes to a computer. I would rather have a computer that looks like shit but works than a computer that looks very cool but does not work at all.
Well, I went for both. I got one of the colorful ones. Remember when in like the mid-2000s when we all got like colorful computers? And I liked that idea because I was like, I'm a fun, funky kind of gal. And then I cried at that assessment of myself. But I got a light blue one. I was between the purple and the light blue, and I got a light blue.
I like that. Purple is Harold branding colors. Did you guys ever have a gateway computer?
Mm-hmm.
It came in a box that looked like a freaking cow.
It was a cow. And we were like, this is fun.
Oh, yeah.
Am I buying a computer or a freaking cow?
I remember the ads had cow print as well. And I remember always being confused because I think Ben and Jerry's had that as well.
Sure.
So I remember like in magazines maybe that there would be like a cow print. And I'd be like, oh, Ben and Jerry's. And then it would be for Gateway computers.
I remember when we got our computer, me and my two brothers were so fucking excited because we thought my mom had bought a big box of ice cream. And we opened it up and we said, oh, man, for homework? Those things were as big as cows, if you know what I'm saying. Because remember how computers used to be very big?
They take up a whole room.
That and TVs.
Two plus two. What do we think?
TVs.
Gun to your head. Don't overthink it. Gun to both of your heads. What do you think right now the dude you're getting at Adele guy is doing right now? Go.
Sleeping?
I was gonna say lunch, but sleeping's probably a safe. Sleeping, honestly, without what
crying.
People sleep like seven, 8 hours a day, sleeping's the safe choice there.
Dude,
I mean, we're recording at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, so it's like, is he asleep? I don't know. Maybe he's in like Australia right now, and he's just fast asleep.
Yeah.
I hope he's in Australia. I hope. I don't know. Also, the Dude You're Getting a Dell guy almost made it on my little weirdos bracket from last week.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah, you know, he wasn't really a little weirdo. He was just he's just a normal weirdo.
Yeah, that's fair. What about Justin Long? Is he a little weirdo?
Honestly, Justin Long, I had a larger list of little weirdos than I cut it down because the only real person that I wanted to put on there was Rami Malek because I think it's very funny. But Justin Long, just himself, was on there for a long time.
If you put Justin Long and Jay Baruchel in front of me and were like, who's who? I'd fucking fold in half and disappear into eternity.
Wow. DJ Qualls? DJ
I feel like
Qualls,
that's a little extreme.
Aaron, I stand by it. DJ Qualls, I absolutely recognize. DJ Qualls, I'm obsessed with. But he doesn't do anything anymore, right?
Yeah, probably not.
Remember Road Trip? Remember his big moments in Road Trip?
I mean, he was huge for a while. Yeah. He had a bunch of new stuff. I always don't want to look up like things like that because if like you look up Frankie Muniz, it's like, oh, this is sad. Like it's
very sad. Yeah,
it's very sad. And I don't want to get sad. I want to just hope that anyone who's not currently like making stuff anymore, who was like an actor who was big for a moment, I hope that they just got done with it and they said, you know what, I've had enough and I'm stopping.
Yeah, if it was like they had autonomy over it, like Rick Moranis, I'd put in my top three favorite actors of all time, and he was just like, I'm done. Like, I stop on my own volition, and I'm going to make comedy country albums, and that's it. Mm-hmm. So I respect that, but it also sucks.
I think like 90% of it is the other thing, where it's just like, no, I just never kept auditioning, never got a role again, and it sucked. And I was like,
Justin Long was huge, and then he just disappeared. I think unless he's out there and I just don't know it.
I think he might be still doing stuff. Okay. I think I saw him still doing stuff.
A few episodes of New Girl, and that's the last time I ever saw him.
You know what? If he saved his money right, I think Justin Long's going to be doing fine.
Oh, sure. He's a multimillionaire for sure.
He made the just off of those like Mac and PC commercials alone, I bet he made bank.
Yeah, absolutely.
Before, so today's my Patreon episode. And before we get into it, I have a couple questions for you guys.
Okay.
I'll entertain a few of these questions, but I got to be honest, I'm getting pretty pissed off with all these questions.
I'll answer them. I won't entertain. I'm tired.
So you know how improv teams have very silly names?
Are you guys sitting down? Are you setting up an Abbott and Costello routine?
I am.
You know, a lot of baseball players have weird names these days.
Let me think. Do I know that? Yeah, I guess I do know that.
So when, for the improv teams that you were on, do you remember the origin of the names?
Yep.
Yes.
I would love to hear them.
I can't.
Remember.
I can remember. I just can't. Some of them came from some pretty unsavory places. Again,
the ones that you can say, I would love to know.
I've been on improv teams for 10 years.
I was on a team called Revolver, but I got joined after they had already been around for several years.
You got joined? That makes it sound like it was like a gang initiation.
I got my button. But I don't know if I ever got the origin of that, because I joined like 4 or 5 years into their residency. But I was on, my very first Herald team at IO was called Hunter Family Crest. And that came from, our coach was Danny Mora, who I adore. And he said, there's a time when we were all discussing names. And he's like, you're not going to pick a name. That's dumb. He goes, what you're going to do is you're going to have your first show. And then something from that first show will become your name.
Yep.
And in our very first show, I did a scene with, in the first beat, A.D. Bryant and I were a married couple. And we were very wealthy and very affluent. And we had lost our son to like the war, a vague war. And his name was Hunter. And we had our family crest on a wall above his picture. And we were like just longing for the days where our son Hunter was alive. And he turned out to be like a shithead or something. But we called our team Hunter Family Crest after that. And that was one of my favorite team names. And then Pudding Thank You, which is a team I was on, we got that name because every time we asked for a suggestion, somebody would say Pudding. And we'd say Pudding Thank You. And so that, because so many people said Pudding, it's just one of those words like
pineapple
or monkey or spatula
Dildo.
Where people are this is funny for a comedy show to say pudding, like that's a funny word. So we got it so often that we just named the team Pudding Thank You.
It's funny because like pineapple, dildo, spatula are all ones that I'm like, I've heard those suggestions 1,000 times, but like in my mind, I'm like, I don't know that I ever heard anyone say pudding. But it's not that I don't fucking believe you. Why would you lie? But
like you don't believe me.
It's funny because like some people will get the same suggestion over and over again, and then some people will be like, oh, I understand that pineapple is one that people get, but I've never heard it as a suggestion. And it's like, all that says is that you had some cool audiences. Law Dog, my improv team for a long time, we would just vary up our ask, and our ask was always, can we get an example of, or can we get something that you would like to hear a poem about?
Mm-hmm.
And it always, I think if you ask in a different way, instead of just a suggestion of anything at all,
mm-hmm.
it'll make people's like brains respond to it differently. Because we never got like weird, like pineapple or anything like that. Cause nobody wants to hear a poem about a pineapple. We would not do a poem, just to be clear. Our form was not
thorny outside, sweet interior.
That's just
you guys did like
boy.
Random, like you each did like a solo sort of talking thing. And then you guys would pick up on the last thing that someone said into your new solo thing. That was so good. I loved Law Dog.
Can you believe that every improv team that I was on, improv team, which is a collaborative art form, somehow, I don't know, who knows how it worked out, but somehow a big portion of our show was just doing solo improv in front of the audience.
Yep.
I don't know what about
you and Devil's Daughter going on stage alone, and you were at a business meeting alone, and you went, nobody knows I shit my pants.
Everyone's
and
like,
I watched him do a solo scene of that, and
instead of doing scenes with JPC, how about we all just carve out our own little area?
The inspiration for that came because I would step out on stage and no one would come out to join me. And I would say, maybe this is the show. Maybe that's the whole show. I do remember Devil's Daughter. We all had like a meeting and we're just like pitching name ideas. And it was between Devil's Daughter and the Baltimore Orioles, which
that's
I thought was a great name for an improv team.
Fantastic.
Adel, when I got put on a Herald team, you, I think, were naming them because you were putting them together and you would give them a fake name.
I want to say, don't hold me to this. I want to say I've probably named more improv teams than anyone in the world, because for 5 or 6 years, I named every single IO team. And then for 6 or 7 years, I've named every playground team, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you had the option to switch the name that you gave, but you gave us Thin Crust.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I was like, there's so many fucking Pizza Herald teams in this. Why is everyone doing pizza themed improv teams in Chicago?
Chicago, baby.
The whole mindset behind the name that I gave teams was typically a pun and typically something like very zeitgeisty. So like when Hamilton came out, it was all Hamilton puns. And the mindset behind it is, I'm going to give you a name so stupid that you want to change it immediately, because a lot of people would just keep their initial team name. And it's like, no, this is a placeholder meant to be swapped out for whatever you're inspired to name it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the idea was like, let's make this so stupid that teams are embarrassed to have it, so they swap it up.
Interestingly, half my team was like, Thin Crust, Thin Crust, which is ridiculous.
Wait, so Adel, are you saying that you would give people like intentionally bad placeholder names?
Uh-oh, do you have a list?
On teams?
Yeah.
Okay, I guess, I don't know, that might be your memory, but I have an email from you. I have an email from you from January 6, 2014. By the way, January
6th.
Holy
shit, I wonder if I'll write
any emails on January 6th. Sure, it's 2014, but
stormy day at the Capitol.
But Herald team, Pink Easel and the Chandeliers. That was the placeholder name that you gave us. Mm-hmm. And the first email response was from Tyler Davis, who just emailed back, I've received the email. Thank you. Which one are we? Pink Easel or the Chandeliers?
Good bit.
I found my email from you, too. You wrote me an email on October 26, 2015.
Hey, Aaron, just go ahead and change it again to say January 6th.
January 6th, 2021. That's so crazy. And then it's my entire Herald team going, thank you, Adel. Thank you so much, Adel. I said, thank you so much. I'm very excited to get started. Aaron Keefe.
You said to me? This is before we were friends.
This is further down the email, people are saying, yay, I'm so excited. I'm so excited. Then there's another follow-up email from Adel, also on January 6th, 2014, coincidence. Good. Says, Tyler, it's all one team name at Carl and the Passions. Please make John Patrick Cohen the person on the team that everyone is always picking on. That's a quote from Adel.
So JPC and I were friends at this time.
And then,
you weren't. Isn't that crazy?
And then Ben Harp says, very excited to get to work with this awesome group. Even JPC, piece of shit that he is.
Adel, in this email, you said, I purposely made your team name dumb so that you can change it sometime soon. Just let me know what you come up with.
I really said that in an email?
Yeah, you did. It's right here.
Oh, good.
That's so cool.
The rest of this thread is just people picking on me.
I'm not saying that this episode is an excuse to bring up the fact that in 2014, I auditioned for a playground team for Adel.
This again.
And I did a scene that was fine. I did a good job. Did I get a call back even? No. Adel Rafai thought I was so bad at improv that he said, she's not good enough for a callback. And now what, Adel? Now I ignore your text.
That sucks because I did text you 2 days ago and you never responded.
I was vomiting in my defense.
Okay. Also, just scrolling further down memory lane, Adel also in the same thread introduced our new coach of that team, whose name was also John. Then someone else on the team who Adel had already said, bully this person named John, said, I was so excited to join this team until fuck of a fuck JPC joined. Then started calling, saying, like, this is a person that I know. It was like, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. And then Adel said, I think you cussed out your new coach instead of JPC.
That's so funny.
Oh, God.
Was that like Sabine or someone?
No, it was Thibodeau.
Oh, John Thibodeau.
Yeah, Tibbs.
Now, right.
I had Sabine.
Or not Colbert Report, Colbert Show, the late night show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, a fun stretch down memory lane. And to all of those listening, and you wonder, hey, why would I so mean to Adel? Huh? Kind of bust my chops to listen to the podcast. Truly. Hear him be so mean to Adel. 2014. So this guy's already pushing his big fucking improv king around town.
So now we know.
JPC.
So now we know why nobody would join you for a scene in your Herald is because I set the precedent, which was pick on JPC.
Your villain origin story.
It turns out that I'm Batman and Adel's the goddamn fucking Riddler because he did the Riddle podcast and I'm the one with the gadgets and the dog named Robin.
Wait a minute. None of that's real. Hold on. Okay.
My roommate Tim had a dog named Robin.
And my second question was, have you guys done any improv that is not Hey Riddle Riddle related? in the last like year.
Yes.
Yes.
In real life.
Unfortunately, yes.
Well, hold on. What do you consider real life?
Like not on the internet.
Yes.
A real show and real person.
Then no, because the only improv I've done is this, Magic Tavern, and then the three of us did a corporate improv gig.
So I'll say yes, because Adel and I did do an improv show live in person.
Oh, shoot. World is Tonight. That's right. I'm sorry. Whoops. I forgot about that.
Yeah, but we did. We did one in Kalamazoo. We did a live in-person improv show.
Oh, okay. How did it go?
Fall or something? I think it went really well. It was two shows.
Yeah, they were great. They were both really fun. Yeah. Yeah, we did two, a Friday night and like a Saturday night, I think.
It was, I remember it being very weird because it had been like a year and a half since any of us had performed. So I remember it being very much like, do we still know how to do this? And then once we started, it was like, fine. But yeah, it was very weird.
Yeah, it was fine in that it was still bad, you know, the same amount of bad that it always is. Yeah, but it was good. Like, it was fine.
People laughed.
People came up to us after the show and they said, it was a really fun show. Thank you for doing it. And I said, okay. I guess if that's what you like. I mean,
perfect vibe. Angry like, at your audience that enjoys you.
You like me, you have bad taste in comedy. Well, Aaron, have you performed anything?
Yes, I've been doing some, like, a wet bus show once a month.
West Bust.
And then West Bust. And also doing, like, other shows. But I'm seeing improv again in person for the first time. Mm-hmm. And it just feels like such a weird transition back to something that already felt like a weird fever dream. And so I thought that we, today, I'm going to generate a improv team name for us.
Okay.
I'm going to generate... the emotion that this team was feeling backstage before the show.
Gotcha.
And then I found out recently you can do there's an improv suggestion generator online, which I think is hilarious. And we're going to see how it is. And I'll give us a suggestion. And then we'll see that that the first like between 3 to 6 minutes of that show.
Wow. And are we going to do a montage? Are we going to do a form?
Truly, every team is different. So we can do a mono scene for one. You can be a montage for the other.
We all agree we won't play with GPC.
Are you worried at all about how many times Aaron said generate there? Like, I don't know what now I'm starting to think back at my time with like doing improv with Aaron. And I'm like, was she doing it? What was generating? How was she generating?
Constantly is generating.
Mm-hmm. All right. Here's our improv team name.
Aaron's turning a big improv wheel crank with her hand on the like, water's pouring down. It's like a Rube Goldberg improv device at this point.
Oh, I knew that this would suck. I'm so excited. Our improv team name is Outside the Oath.
Outside the OTO. I think we would probably shorten it to OTO.
Aaron, are you on a white supremacist name generator?
Like, yeah, what are you on?
What is this?
What are you on? What kind of websites are you on?
So we are Outside the Oath. Keepers.
The emotion that we were all feeling in the green room before, the vibe of the green room was gratitude.
Okay, Aaron, so I just used the same name generator and I got no clan do.
Okay. Okay.
Generator. Okay, so we're all feeling gratitude. We're outside the oath and we're feeling
this
gratitude.
This is getting super religious.
Yep.
Oath,
and then,
gratitude.
Do we want to get a location, a relationship, or a word to get started?
I would say word.
Yeah,
great.
I'd say anything except for relationship sucks as a suggestion.
I don't love that.
I hate relationship as a suggestion.
Trashed.
Okay. Now, Aaron, can I ask you a question right before we get into this?
Yep.
Are we all playing characters being this improv team, or is this an improv team with the three of us who are all feeling gratitude, or am I like a character who would be feeling gratitude to be placed on an improv team?
You're a character. We're not going to be ourselves.
Gotcha, because I got to tell you, if someone came up to me, JPC, in 2020 and was like, hey, man, I'm placing you on an improv team, that to me is a prison sentence.
Exactly.
That's life for me. So I would not be feeling gratitude, but knowing that I'm going to be portraying a character who feels gratitude.
So now is the time when we're about to do the show, Aaron, is that right?
Yeah, I'm going to introduce us and then get our suggestion and then...
Could we possibly, Aaron, this is Adel asking Aaron, mm-hmm. Could we possibly see like 2 minutes of the three of us backstage before our first show?
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
In the green room?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can I just say I'm so thankful to be cast on this team with the two of you. I've been thinking about it. I moved to the city for this, and I'm just so, I think you're both just exceptional. So I got your backs.
This is awesome. I mean, it's just freaking awesome to be here. Mm-hmm. I've got goose pimples all over my arms. Yeah.
It's our first show. This is going to be amazing. My intention for this show is to make a lot of eye contact and to have a lot of fun.
Oh, that's great. Oh, can I say, nobody pick me up. Don't put your fingers in my ear. Try not to pull my pants down if possible.
So, and all the stuff we did in rehearsal is a no-go.
Yeah. If that last rehearsal was rough.
I'm sorry. I'm such a physical player. I'm such a physical player, with my body. Does that make sense? I make physical choices for other people's bodies, but I mean, I'm from Iowa and that's how we did it in college. So thank you. Okay. I'll respect that.
Try and take the note.
I actually don't quite understand what notes are yet.
Oh, you know what? That's fine.
If I ever cross the line, all you have to say is, Corey, that crossed the line, and then I know to do better for next time.
Good to know. Great. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name.
Is this a bit?
What?
Is this a bit? I don't know because I'm not super tight with you guys yet, so I just don't know when a bit is coming and when a bit is not coming.
Well, if anyone had responded to my email about playing Codenames at my house...
Gratitude.
Oh,
they're calling our name.
They're calling our name.
Hi, we are Outside the Oath, and you have the honor for being at our first show. Can we get a suggestion of anything at all? I heard trashed.
Outside the Oath presents trashed.
Man, this dumpster has nothing good in it.
Me, a fellow raccoon, has to agree with you. What happened to the good old days where dumpsters were filled with old Christmas hams?
Oh, those were the days.
Hey, guys! I think I found something good down here at the bottom of the trash dumpster.
Oh, did you? We'll be down there in 1 second because I don't know if you remember, but the two of us are going to do a two-person scene to try and get relationship and the who, what, where out. So we'll be with you.
It's one of those big Christmas hams. I'm going to do the ham-ham dance.
I agree that we're going to do the ham-ham dance.
The ham-ham dance.
And also, our coach said don't give notes from within a scene. Ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham-ham
banana peel inside this trash can. Nom, 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 nom.
Yeah, Toby. I'm a raccoon too, Stale, but a different one from before.
Oh, hi, Stella.
Hi.
Toby, Stella. Toby, Stella.
So, Stella, Toby, I don't know if you know this, but I am 27 years old. I was born in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and my dream is to be an astronaut.
And I don't know if you know this, but I'm 32 years old. I was born in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and my dream is to be one of those people who help astronauts get to space.
We cut to Stella on the moon dead. Aaron, say something.
Oh,
she's alive. She's not dead.
Aaron, what are you doing?
Shh, don't give notes on stage. I can only wake up from being dead.
We cut to Stella in raccoon heaven.
Wow, there's a lot of next. Dogs in raccoon heaven.
What are you doing here in dog heaven?
Oh, no, I got brought to the wrong heaven. Can I speak to your manager?
We cut to the manager, and it's God, backwards, which is dog.
Ruff, ruff. You are in heaven. Hello. You're a weird-looking dog.
Can I please get sent back to Earth? I never got to do my dream, and I never got to have true love's kiss.
I'll put you back on Earth, but you'll be in high school, and you'll have a guardian angel. Bowser, will you go with her as a guardian angel?
Yeah, but I can't go as a dog. You're gonna have to put me into a teacher's body.
Okay. Ding! You're a dog in a teacher's body.
We cut to Earth at high school.
Oh no, I got shoved into a locker. High school's hard!
You let her out of that locker, I'll hump your leg. Now everybody in the math class.
Oh, Mr. Williams, fine, I'll let her out.
All right. Settle down. Welcome to your math class. It's me, Mr. Williams. There's paw prints on the board. Chalk paw prints all over the board.
Mr. Williams, it's the first day of school. I brought you an apple. Puts the apple on Mr. Williams' nose.
That's poison for teachers. Teachers can't have apples.
Well, Mr. Williams, I brought you a Christmas ham.
You're doing great, kiddo. Wink.
Wow. I'm doing great.
Now, to fractions. All right. Fractions. What are these? Oh, boy. Fractions.
Sweep. Edit.
I'm the original raccoon from before. And we're still doing the ham dance.
Ham. Edit. Sweep.
Hey, God.
Yes?
You know how I died and became a Christmas ham? I'm a pig.
Okay.
Can I go back to Earth? Because I would like to be an astronaut, too. Because pigs are just as smart as dogs.
Let me think about it. And while I'll think about it, can I just say, we should probably expand the world because we keep dealing with the same pieces of information over and over, which is getting exhausting.
And can I just say, I think that giving notes to teammates on stage is passive aggressive and people are probably going to be crying in
Hey, John, come on. What are you doing? Let's go out. We have a life to live. This is New York City, okay?
Aaron, don't go out there. Stay back.
John, hello.
Yes, I'm John. I'm here. I'm with you. Yeah, let's not go out.
No, we have to go out. It's New York City. We have to live our life. Listen, John Larson.
I tag out
John.
Aaron.
Yes?
He's alone on stage.
That's fine.
You tagged out and didn't replace? It was a tag out without a replace?
Yes. That's fine.
That's nothing.
Keep it going.
You ran on stage, tagged this person out, and then ran off stage? Come back.
Sweep. Whoa, I'm a raccoon. Honey, I just had a crazy dream that we were in a dumpster, and then there were other raccoons, and then we were in raccoon heaven, and then we saw a guy telling his wife that they need to go out, and then we saw, and this was all a dream?
Ham.
All right. Hey, everyone. Thank you. We have been Unbreakable Oath. That is it for the first half of our set. Stay here.
Grab a drink. Tip your waiters. We'll be here all week.
We'll be back in five.
We'll be here all week. Week spelled W. Oh, the curtain.
How do we think it's going?
I think we're amazing.
Amazing out there.
I feel so supported out there. It's wild because we just basically met 2.5 weeks ago. But it's like, I feel so, like every time I feel like I'm falling, I feel like I have like 10 hands at my back catching.
I feel the same. I feel like I could fall from the ceiling and I would land like a feather. And I feel like everything I'm doing is landing. And it feels like the moves I'm making, it's like I'm on autopilot.
Oh, okay, the curtain.
Hold on, I'm still talking.
We're back.
That's fine.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. We still have, it's fine. Oh, this is the, let, oh, let's let okay, this here be we the go. Show. Let's let this be the show.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my
Meta.
God. What if this is the phone?
So,
can we get a new suggestion?
Scene.
Sorry, I panicked.
Perfect.
Let's let this be the show. Can we get a new suggestion?
Oh, my God. That felt like very familiar. My God. All right, Adel, what do you think? Are we getting cut?
If it's your first show, you're not getting cut. I think we would always give teams...
Oh, yeah, you're allowed to be really bad your first show.
I think we would give... We're like, we can't even consider cutting a team until 6 months after they're formed. Because we're like, surely they're gonna, they need to find their footing.
Have you ever had someone give you notes mid-scene?
Yes.
Like that? You have?
Uh-huh.
Like as a joke or like as a meta,
I've had people give me notes, but they've done it in a very sly way. Like as the character, they'll be like, don't you want to talk about this instead of that? Or something like that. Maybe it's not sly, but they'll do it in character where I'm like, this sucks.
I've had someone remind me of like a detail that I got wrong, or like remind me of their name that I like called them the wrong name or something on stage. But never like, hey, we genuinely let scenes breathe for the first 2 minutes. Yeah, I've never done that.
Yeah, people are weird, man. I've seen some people do some weird shit.
Aaron, you're when you just listed everything that happened and you're like, and that was all a dream, that feels so real to beginning improv, where it's like, if the first scene is talking about diamonds and buffets, you're going to say diamonds and buffets 400 times before the intermission.
I do remember I was on a team, and it was a four-person team that will remain nameless. And the form was that we would do two-person scenes at the top of the show. Two back-to-back two-person scenes. Four-person team, and we're going to do two back-to-back two-person scenes. And so what ended up happening was invariably, like, at four weeks in a row, one person would walk on in that first two-person scene. And it was the same person who did it over and over again.
Was it
and
you?
It
was not. It was not okay. Me.
What does their name rhyme with?
Yeah. Whack Pass.
Oh, okay.
let's just call him Whack Pass. Okay. It was our friend Zach Mast. He just kept walking on, and like he had forgotten. And we would, like, 2 minutes before the show would start, we'd be like, okay, let's two-person scenes. Let it breathe. And it was just like an instant walk on. So the one time it was like 4 weeks in a week, and we had let that happen. I just immediately came on. I think it was like some wine to decant, and I was like, "Hey, I'm decanting some wine. Should I open it now or should I let it breathe? What should we do with the wine? Should we just open it right now because we want the wine, or should we let it breathe because we want the wine to be a little better later on?"
That's
and we think
so
letting
funny.
The wine breathe might be. And I did that to be an asshole. I wasn't like. But it was also very funny how we kept talking about it, like, right before shows would start.
That's still hilarious.
You know what? Honestly, I sat in with Ba Frog, we'll call it, a few times in my
yes,
day.
The
absolute worst first two lines of a scene I've ever done was with you in that show in the first scene. I said, "I love you," and you said, "Who are you?" So,
well,
you know what? You were not.
Who are
you? I'm not a good improviser. I'll die on that hill. But one of the things that we liked doing on that team would be to, like, metaphorically slap someone as hard as you could in the face.
Right.
Just not honor or respect anything anyone said. Now, here's the thing. I don't recommend you doing that if you're starting out as an improviser.
Sure.
But if you are an addict like I am, and you're just taking so many hits that it doesn't do fucking anything for you anymore. You're slinging back 6-7 improv shows a week and you feel fucking nothing. Sometimes you just got to change it up. And one of the ways that you change it up is to try to do the things that you know won't work and see if you can still try to make them work. Because that's the only way to feel something.
Was there a run where Law Dog opened for Pudding Thank You for run or something?
We didn't have a run, but we had Pudding Thank You open for our show, like, I don't know, like a bunch of times. We had a ton of times.
But yeah, I remember... There's a show where Pudding played, either before or after you.
Yes.
But there's a scene, you were doing a scene, I want to say, maybe with Zach Mast, and I think Alex Nichols ran across the front of the stage indicating a sweep edit, and he ran across the front of the stage, and you did not move, and like Zach went to leave, and you're like, no, it's fine, you can stay, and he goes, what? And he goes, that's just my neighbor, he likes to run... He likes to run across the lawn sometimes, and you're like, hey,
that's
Bill, or whatever it was. And so Alex was like, motherfuck. And he kept trying to edit, and you're like, man, he usually goes around the whole block, but it seems like he's doing wind sprints. But you would not let him edit. And I was like, this is so fucking funny. But it's like, if this team didn't know each other, it would be like, yikes, bikes. But because you all were friends, I was like, this is so funny, because they're just like, it's almost like in Aaron, I just saw Everything Everywhere All at Once.
It's a blast.
Which was one of the best movies I've ever seen in my life. But there's a moment where she's a rock with googly eyes and she just says, there are no rules. And I'm like, that's exactly what that play is. Is like,
I did that once. We usually had our coach pull lights for us, and for pulling lights at the end of the show for my Herald team was like, you wanted someone who knew your show and knew your format to pull lights, especially with the Herald, because a lot of like A lines and B lines and C lines, they're all wrapping up together in a satisfying way. And our coach wasn't there that night, and the lights person, who was just, you know, doing their job, they pulled lights on us at a very unsatisfying moment in the show, and I was not ready for the show to be over. So I can't remember what their name was, but I was like, no, don't pull those lights back up. Leave them down. The rest of the show is at dark. And I think we did like 3.5 more minutes in the dark because the show had not wrapped up. And it was like, it was very funny because I feel like everyone No one wanted the show to be over, but I think I was the only one on the team that was like, I just won't let it end. I always thought one of the funniest things would be to sign up for one of those shows, like those mixer shows where you have, everybody gets like 4 minute slots, you know, insanely short slots. Let the lights come down to your show. Don't move. Don't clear the stage at all. Wait for the lights to come back up and then just restart the show.
That's so funny.
What are they going to do? Pull me off?
They don't have the upper body strength.
They don't got the guys. They don't got the manpower to get me over the stage.
All right, let's try to do at least one more of these.
Yes.
Can you believe I was universally reviled in the community? Can you believe that?
No, the craziest part of this is how respected you were. That's the real mystery of this, is how many people considered you their favorite improviser.
That is
what's weird.
I did shows with Jeff Dow one time. We did like mixer shows, and I remember
he's so fucking
Dow,
funny.
He's so funny. And I remember we did just the worst show. And I turned to him and I go, can you believe they let people do shows with us? People accept that they get to do shows with us. I was like, in any other society, if society was structured in the right way, we'd be blacklisted.
Of course.
We'd be blacklisted.
And you two were like an essential part of the community. You were two of our best and you were complete chaos monsters. Unbelievable.
Oh, I remember... I think it was Jeffrey Dow. I think he came in. He was sitting in. They asked him to sit in with like Musical Armando. And he walked in and was doing a bit. And he's like, hey, you all know me. I'm Jeff Dow. And like did a bit where he was like pretending to be an asshole. Because Jeff Dow is very sweet. Very
he's
funny
a very
guy.
Sweet guy. Yeah.
But he was pretending to be an asshole. And then they like talked behind his, like once the show was over or whatever, they're like, what an asshole. He came into the room like he was some hot shot or whatever. And I'm like, I heard about it. I'm like, he's clearly doing a bit.
Just doing a bit.
But it was just so funny that they're like, he will never play with us again. Fuck this guy.
So funny.
Aaron, what's our new team?
Our new team is called Bloody Cottage.
Ooh,
sounds like Devil's Daughters. Like,
it does.
That sounds like what they used to call periods in like the 1400s. Like,
oh,
I'm visiting my Bloody Cottage.
The Bloody Cottage.
This is such a funny emotion that got generated. Hunger.
Ooh.
And then the word is laser.
Laser.
All right, so let's pop
so we're feeling our hungry. Improvisers are feeling hungry.
Hungry.
Yeah, so hungry. We can, do you want to just, let's just pop into the show. We'll see. Yeah.
Got it.
Hi, we are Bloody Cottage.
Can we get a suggestion of anything at all?
A word like laser or...
I heard laser.
Bloody
laser,
College
laser,
presents
laser.
Okay,
laser,
we have to avoid
laser,
all
laser,
of these lasers.
Laser.
In
laser,
order to
laser,
get
laser,
to the diamond laser, that we're laser, trying to
laser,
steal.
Laser, laser,
are you ready?
Avoid them. I've been eating them. Hold.
Is that gonna work? Let's see.
Laser.
We immediately got caught. The alarm's going off. Oh no. I just wanted to tell you, I always loved
you. I love you.
You're more than just
a friend.
Co-conspirator.
Friend. Dr. Laser.
Well, what do we have here? Jeff and Diane. Friends. Possibly something more. Who knows? I don't know. I mean, Dr. Laser's not trying to put words under what this is, but it's obviously there's something sneaking into my vault trying to steal my diamond.
We cut to
Dr. Laser. This is too funny of a character for bad improv. But keep going.
We cut to Dr. Laser coming home, and it's 2 a.m. in the morning, and his wife is waiting for him on the stairs.
Hold on. Well. Look who's pretty drunk. Coming home, spilled salsa on my shirt, had to take my shirt off, bird took the shirt. That's why, just wearing jacket, no shirt.
You missed King's dance recital.
I put it on
your calendar and you missed it.
Look who missed Kim's dance. First of all, why would I, a grown man, go to your stepmom's dance rehearsal? That doesn't make any sense.
It's her recital and it meant a lot to her.
I don't know her. That's a
I don't
woman
even
I don't know
you anymore.
I hope you dance.
She's crying.
Is Kim still up there?
Yeah, she's
crying.
Still up
there? She's staying over?
Yeah.
I hope you dance.
Why doesn't she just go stay with your dad, her husband?
You know what?
I'll go talk
to her. Who are you to judge someone's relationship? Yeah, go talk to her.
I'll go talk to her. Let me take my... Okay, I don't have a shirt. I'm just going to go talk to your stepmother without a shirt. Knock, knock, knock.
Answer.
Can I come in?
Is it Dr. Laser?
It's Dr. Laser.
What
can
do
I come
you
in,
want?
Kim? Cam, just please open the door. I don't want to have this conversation
Fine.
On the other side of a door.
Shirt off. Clapping.
Well, look who opened the door. My wife's stepmother, Kim, who's staying over at our guest house, even though she has a house just 3 blocks away with her husband.
Why don't you come sit on the bed while you continue to narrate?
Well, I'm not going to do that, Kim, because I'm a little bit drunk. You look kind of like my wife. I've had a hell of a night. A bird took my salsa shirt.
It is interesting how much I look like your wife, my husband's daughter.
Yes, I mean, he obviously has a type of woman that he cares about. That he's not necessarily... Look, it is. It's weird. It's weird how much you look like her.
And it's sweep.
So you need... how long will you be staying in this motel with us, Dr. Laser? Did you get kicked out of your...
easy on the Dr. Laser. I thought I was paying cash. Just call me Steve.
Steve.
Yeah. No. It's week to week, right? I could just pay up front for the week, or how does it work?
You could also pay for the month. We have a husband got kicked out special going on.
Well. Look who's got a husband kicked out special. I'll have that. I'll pay for the month up front. Then any days I don't use, can I get credited back? Or
sure. Just let you know, the walls are very thin, so if you're going to cry, people are going to hear it.
That's okay. It is the. It's the last day of the semester here at Gonzaga. Laser, do you want to go for your doctorate?
Hell yeah, I'll go for it.
Okay. What part of the eye is this?
Oof, I want to say iris.
Okay. And what part of the stomach is this?
Ooh, I want to say pancreas.
And what bone in the foot is this?
Ooh, the talon?
Laser, or should I say Dr. Laser?
Congratulations. Finally did it.
Congratulations.
Oh, God. Oh, whew. All right. So, do I pay here or the bursar?
The who?
Do I pay here with you or with the bursar's
office? Just don't punch the bursar. Alexander Hamilton. My name is
Sweep.
Alexander Hamilton. Hold on. And there's a million things I haven't done. Just you wait. Aaron, what was that?
Dr. Laser was one of the best evil geniuses this town ever had. And his death was mysterious, but we will miss him, and he's leaving behind a wife's stepmom who loved him very much and a wife who loved him very much despite their issues, and he will be sorely missed.
Now some of Dr. Laser's...
he's alive!
No, I'm his son. Hi, I'm Kevin.
You look just like him. He clearly had a type.
Yeah, I'm his son. Now some of Dr. Laser's... the adversaries, the ones he fought against, are going to come and say some words. We're going to start with Captain Choke. Captain Choke, thank you.
Hey, everyone. I'm... you all know me? Sorry, I'm getting a little... What can I say about Dr. Laser that hasn't been said before? I'm sorry, I can't.
No, it's okay. Thank you. Thank you, Captain Choke. I know, obviously, it's a raw time. It's a very emotional time.
Did someone call for raw time?
Yes, raw time. You're up next.
Hello, everyone. You all know me. It's raw time. Listen, Dr. Laser led a very productive and full life. We should not be mourning him. We should be celebrating him. What is Raw Time always saying? What's my catchphrase? You all know it. Scream it at me.
It's Raw Time.
It's time to do it raw.
Well, I say that sometimes. Megan, hello.
Hi.
And I will support the kid. I'm going to go ahead and pass this mic on, but I do want to say thank you all for having me. I didn't expect to be invited.
Okay. Again, not really a eulogy. Okay. Next up for the mic to give a eulogy. Remember, my father, Dr. Laser, who died. This is Dominate Trips. Dominate Trips.
Here I come. Whoa!
She trips.
My whip.
Okay, we'll give her a second. We'll give Dominate Trips a second.
As she makes
her way up here for my dad's funeral.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not gonna make it. I keep. Whoa.
She's getting further away.
Stop tripping.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, so sad to see.
She's getting further away. She's getting further away.
We got to Dr. Laser in heaven, And there's God, but God backwards is a dog.
Roof, roof. Welcome, Dr. Laser.
And that's our show. We've been Bloody Cottage. We gotta go because we ordered a pizza and it just got delivered.
And we'll be eating it on the second during the second half of our show, which is going to be in 10 minutes. So grab some drinks, tip your waiters. We'll be here all week. And the bathrooms are out the door and to the left on the bathroom sign.
A guy on a team I was coaching once ordered food during the show, and he was on the sidelines of a scene, and he had the person bring him food, and he was eating it on the sidelines of the show during the show.
That is bold and so disrespectful.
Is that not one of the most bold things that you've ever heard? He was like, afterwards, he was like, yeah, I was hungry. And I ordered that, like, I ordered it before we got on stage. I was like, I was mystified. I was blown away. I was like, I don't even know what to tell you. You shouldn't be doing that.
I remember Harrison Lott would order food perfectly at the exact right time, and it would get delivered to the green room right after our show would finish.
Smart. I've never had a moment in my life where I couldn't wait 25 minutes to eat. Never. I've never had that.
Oh, I've definitely had that moment before. And you can tell because I'm a real pain to be around.
Waleed and I have been absolutely roasting Sean because for our wet bus shows, we don't have a tech person, so we have to call the end of our show. And in like November or something, Sean said the last joke of the show, and then he called it.
It was so funny and cartoonishy.
It was like, and that's why we needed a real doctor. And then he went, and that's our show. Thanks. By the end of his sentence of his last joke, he said, and that's our show. And we were like, that is so funny. And that's why we needed a real doctor. And that's our show, everybody. Thanks so much for coming out to see Wet Bus.
Did he do a laugh into the
Yeah.
Other?
Yeah. Uh-oh. It was.
Oh, no.
Ooh, I loved it. Ooh, I loved it so much. I thought about it every day for like 2 months.
We did a show one time where the person at I.O., they had persons like scheduled to run lights in all of the theaters. And there was a person who was being trained, and it was their first time ever doing lights. They were like being trained. And Devil's Daughter was doing a show, and we were 30 minutes into a Herald show, or like 25 minutes into a Herald show. We hit the ending. No light pole came. Another scene started. We did a like weird other scene. People are like, what's going on? No light pole came. We're making eye contact with the person in the light booth. They're just kind of looking at us. Not like they're watching the show. Not like they're worried about what's happening at all. It was we did like three more scenes. Finally, someone from our team left, went behind the stage, went into the light booth and like pulled the lights down. It was maddening. We were all like, oh, we're stuck here forever.
That's
we can't.
Such a shitty feeling.
And it was 5 minutes of people directly to the audience being like, waka waka, you know, and just like waiting for the pull that would never come. It was unbearable. That burned into my eyes.
We had that with Revolver at the old IO space on Clark. And whoever was doing lights had never done lights with us before and was clearly, they were like talking to someone. Like we could see them in the booth talking to someone. So we had two or three outs. It didn't get called. And we're like, this sucks. So at some point, I think it was like Farrell maybe, started a scene. And he was like doing a scene. And then he goes, and the sun begins to set. The sun is setting. The sun is setting. It's getting dark.
He's so
the sun
funny.
Is setting.
That's amazing.
And he was like looking at the light booth and the audience was onto it. So they were like laughing. And he's like, the sun is setting all the way down. No, no, no. All the way down. And then it went completely dark and he goes, end show.
That's so funny.
But I'm like, that's what you had to do to be like, we need to get off stage.
Wetbus is still pissed about a show that we did at University of Michigan in 2016. It was the best show we ever did. Wow. We're at like the 25-minute mark. Was truly like a perfect Wetbus show. And we gave a perfect out, and then we all looked at each other, and the lights weren't pulled. And then we did 8 minutes of the worst improv we've ever done.
Yeah, it's tough.
It is like, laurels. It's still the worst. I'm still mad about it.
That's awful.
Because we were like, oh, we did the perfect Wet Bus show that turned into one of the worst ones we've ever done because of the 8 minutes. I want my money back.
When people say stuff like improv sucks, it's because of moments like that. Yep. It's like, yes, that sucks. It must have sucked to watch.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, yeah, well, when something goes on for too long, it really does really suck.
I see what you're doing. It's turn the lights. The sun is setting. The sun is setting. Well, we'll definitely come back to this because there's like, I wanted to do a million more. And this is
a joy,
very fun to do half intentionally bad, half actually bad with a little sprinkle of good improv with you guys.
This is
it's fun.
Fun. This
it's
is
a fun blast. Thread to try to, what do you say?
You weave Neptune? A thread.
You weave it. All right, goodbye. Lights. Lights, please. Bye.
Bloody College was Adil Rafai, John Patrick Cohen, and Aaron Keefe. You can find our headshots on the way out. If you're an agent, my number is
30. Aaron Keefe, if you rolled your eyes, it's because of Adil Rafai or that other young guy, fucking JPC. Casey Tony edited what everybody said. Emily Cardamus did the logo. Arnie Parrott sang and wrote every single friggin' note of 1, 2, 3, 4. Hey, riddle, riddles, clue, crew.